for a joke that was not related to snow, because right now there doesn't seem to be any too many jokes about that going around successfully. I do want to tell you about, Holly was telling me she just installed some new software, and she had to come up with a new password for her software, and so she put in beef stew, but it came back and said, no, that's not stroganoff. I'm sorry, Holly, I didn't even give her a warning on that one coming up. Welcome, everyone, and welcome people online. We know some people are going to be absent because of a baseball game today. It's a football. Broncos are playing, so celebrate those people joining us virtually. And all those people out of state, if you are not in Colorado the last 2 days, how much snow did Aurora get? What was the official total? You heard what? Somebody heard 19. Anybody? Do I have 20? Do I hear it? Going once, going twice.
It just melted as fast as it landed.
Yes, but it is melting rapidly. Thank you. Richard, you all need to applaud Richard as usual. Mucked his way through that a couple times, and it was quite a job, and he is keeping up as usual. We had some tree trimming. God did some tree trimming around the property, and so some work being done there, and Richard, of course, is helping coordinate that. So we celebrate all of those things. But we come and we gather on this Sunday, and this is also a Veterans Weekend. Monday, office is closed because of Veterans Day. We celebrate that holiday. And we want to acknowledge veterans. Is this a good time? Is this a good time that we might pause and give thanks to all of those who have served? And thank them for their service and their dedication, and ask them to stand. I'm going to have to wait till Diana stops bothering Richard because I need his attention. Richard, we're going to ask veterans, stand if you will. Let us applaud you. I don't know how many veterans, or if you had a veteran in the family that you were a husband or a spouse or. Richard, stand up. No, you were not a veteran. Okay. All right. So. Celebrators, yeah, celebrate veterans and celebrate vets on this holiday. Thank you for your service. By way of announcements, Paya is absent. She is, you know, sometimes you get weird excuses, but she's on an airplane on the way to Hawaii. I don't see how that would interfere with her being able to be here and do her duties. She has a relative who is going to turn one. And in the Tongan community, that's a huge celebration, just a very huge celebration. So somehow she was granted the ability financially to be able to do that and make that trip and to honor that family. So we celebrate her on the family. I do not know the one-year-old's name, but we want to celebrate them. Yesterday they had it's called a missionale. One day out of the year, they get all of the Tongan families together. They had a huge feast. And they dedicate how much they're going to be able to give to support the ministry. And so that was yesterday, which was pretty interesting because the weather made some of the power was out here and not all of it. So it was complicated trying to figure out what the real problem was. Richard, again, was key. There was point on that. I was at home trying to dig myself out. But eventually we think we have everything else running now. If you find something that it does not behave as you think it should be, let us know. By way of announcements, other things for the good of the order. What else do we need to know this morning as we're coming and gathering? Michael, Sandy Tenney has something that she'd like to share.
Because of this wonderful weather, we didn't have a meeting yesterday for the Women's Society. But we plan on having it this Saturday. So it's be at 10 o'clock in the parlor. Thank you to all the people that attend.
Okay, women's meeting this Saturday here at the church at 10 o'clock. Sandy Tenney will bring a full feast. any others? Oh, Diana Hunt, please.
Well, there's a couple of things. As you know, we've got two big
celebrations coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we'd really like to get some planning in ahead for the Christmas session and some volunteers to help us. So please put that on your calendar and think about coming. We'd like to get together a week before to sort of lay things out and see what we have and get things in the right area so it's easy to put away and to put up. And the second thing is, it's that time of year which doesn't affect, most of the time it doesn't affect the congregation. But I'd like to know, it is time for SPRC to vote on whether they want to keep the pastor again. And I've polled everybody that's been here and we've got a consensus, but I'd like to know what the congregation thinks. Do we want to keep this pastor or not?
I could go out if you'd like to vote and not hurt my feelings.
That's good. Yeah. That's what I thought. So say a big aye if you want to keep him. Aye. Okay.
Nays?
No nays.
All right. Thank you. And I have, and I don't know if you understand the appointment process. The pastor makes their recommendation, the congregation makes their recommendation to the district superintendent, who recommends it to the bishop, a brand new bishop, as you know, Kristen Stone King. So as Jessica told me, she says, we have not yet done a cabinet meeting, so I don't know how the bish is going to bish. So we will wait and see. But appointments ultimately are made by our bishop. They rarely make the surprise appointments that they have in years past, but may God be with all of those decision-making, amen? Thank you for that, Diana. Other announcements, anything else for the good of the order as we are about gathering? And if not, stand if you will, wave to one another, wave hello, and let us turn to our call to worship. Holly's gonna lead us.
Good morning, everybody. I have to say it, as Pastor Will used to say, did you see them mountains this morning? It was so beautiful this morning. So God is good. God is all the time.
God is good.
All right, so join me in the call to worship. Lord God, we come together in worship.
Lord,
we come turning our eyes and our hearts to Jesus Christ. This is a day fraught with concern and with potential. Lord, today we honor our veterans, even as we pray for the end of war and conquest and violence. As your people, we come to you seeking to follow Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher. Open us to your healing, inspiration, and love. Now, join me in singing, O God of Every Nation. It's in your hymnal on page 435, but I'm sure it's up here too. Thank you. seated. The first scripture lesson today comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, and you can find it in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible on page 309. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks, so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
By way of prayers, we have the prayers that you see listed on the back of the bulletin. We are grateful for any news we might have of any updates. How's everybody else doing? Have we heard updates on things? Michael, Wendy, and Don both have something to share here.
Go to Don, because she's closer.
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers for my dad. He's in a better place, and we're glad for that, so... Thank you for including him in the last week's service.
Don Hust.
Oh, you want the movie too.
Husted, yes, Don.
Hi, Ruby Munson. This is my last day to be here. I'm going Saturday to Tucson. And I've done that since 1980. And so I wanted to thank you for your welcoming and your friendship, and of course, the coffee and donuts. Thank you.
Okay, she is a sunbird, so she's also, we hope that you'll be back in 6 months, Ruby, but safe journey and enjoy that warm weather.
I just wanted to update on my ex-husband, Mark. They took him off the ventilator day before yesterday, and he's breathing on his own and talking.
Wow.
And he's still in critical condition on dialysis and having some other problems, but that was a miracle.
Amen. Amen. All right. We've been praying for Mark, and we will continue to pray for him. We continue to see those changes. Again, thanks to all who have helped with the different issues around the building here and for taking care of our neighbors. Linda Emerson was here briefly, but her power is out, so she has to go back home again. Couldn't get in and out of her garage. And don't you love those automatic garage door openers? And all of a sudden, the power goes out, and they go, "Ha, ha, ha, you took us for granted." So, prayers for those, and hopefully for those who need extra help, we'll help that we might become aware. Any other concerns? Celebrations in our midst. Who do we have to celebrate this week, do you have special celebrations before I get to the birthdays and anniversaries? I don't see any. Serenity is going to be 6. Colleen, it can't be possible. She's just, I can't believe it. She's just grown too fast. That's on Monday. She'll be 6. On the 15th, which is Friday, Alex and Audrey Burns are celebrating an anniversary. I don't know how many years this is, but their clan is growing and full of vitality. We celebrate them. Others that you might mention. Intriguingly enough, as we look around, we might say, Lord, thanks for watering the ground. It came in a different form, but certainly there a good part of Colorado has been in drought, and we made a little bit of inroads into it. It certainly felt like that when I tried to lift a shovel full of it. It felt like it was less snow and more water, and the lake is filling up from the runoff. So we're grateful for the moisture we got, even amidst the shoveling. We have had a presidential election, and I wrote my sermon on Monday thinking that we would be in the midst of that, and that by this point in time we would still be debating and waiting for results on elections, and that's true of some elections, but other elections have, the results are clear. Some are grateful for the results, some are saddened by results, but let us hope that the Lord will be with our nation, and then we can move forward. We'll talk a little bit about that in the sermon. Anything else by way of prayer concerns? If not, let's turn to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Let us give thanks to the Lord for the land of our birth and all the wonders of our country's story. We give you thanks, O Lord. For those who in all times and places have been true and brave, and in the world's troubling ways have lived upright lives as people faithful to the Lord. We give you thanks, O God. For those who served their country in its hour of need, and especially for those who gave their lives in that service, we give you thanks, O God. For a healing of division and unity and care and compassion, open our hearts this morning. Open us to your redeeming, healing love. Give us your consolation and the assurance now and forever in your living presence. I invite you to a time of silent meditation and preparation for prayer. Loving God, thank you for your presence with us, for your love that never ends, for your spirit that comes to us, for the words you've given us through Jesus Christ, for the guidance that you give us in our lives, and for hearing our prayers, knowing what we need, even if it's not what we always ask. And Lord, for blessing us and nudging us forward. As we gathered this morning in a morning so very different from a week ago when it was fall and warm and leaves were on the trees and it was golden, to a day that is winter of snow and deep snow full of water, which is a gift to us, we pause and acknowledge the glory of your creation and your gifts to us. In like manner, awaken us from places where we have become calm and unhurried. Awaken us and revitalize our spirits and our energy to be about justice and about care, to be about finding those that you seek, that you send us to, that you guide us to, that you guide us to care for as your hands and feet in this world. Thank you for your inspiration and for your gifts that help us gift others. Lord, you are great beyond our imagination. And as we pause, we acknowledge that we are merely the pots and that you are the potter, that we are the created and you are the creator, that we belong to you, and that you are the perfect judge of justice, of righteousness, of truth, and that you guide us. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all the blessings we have received from you. Thank you for this gathering in this warm place with a roof over our head and the love of Christ in our hearts. Thank you for living in a nation, a democracy filled with health care and justice and all of the gifts that you give us. Lord, we give you thanks. Hear us as we come and gather, as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are gifted, we are blessed, and let us take a moment to reflect as we listen to Colleen's offertory.
Peace. Please stand if you are able. The second scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. And that's in the New Testament part of your Bible, obviously, on pages 46 and 47. This is the story of the widow's generosity. As he taught, he said, Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the kids come forward.
Our vacation Bible school song.
for watching Life Changes.
Thank you. Hey. Sounds like an Irish jig, didn't it? I thank you, Holly, for your good work and your good work as a liturgist and what have you. As I said, I began writing my sermon on Monday knowing the election was coming. I think we made it through without some of the rancor that we had anticipated, but there is still division. Several of you have commented to me about people who are gloating, and let's not do any of that. Let's not respond. Let us lovingly respond. I am going to have to work with Bo and Stephanie because you guys have a copy of my sermon. They're going to try and work the slides. We didn't get a chance to rehearse them, but we will be there. But at any rate, we gather, and most of the races, we have the results of those. And I did a little report card of myself and the things that I voted for and voted against. I voted yay and nays on various things. And actually, on all of the stuff that we voted on, I did pretty well. And the amendments and the motions, and I don't ever vote on the judges and stuff. I don't know them or not well enough informed to make an informed decision there. So I'll leave that to those. I don't know how you do it, but I am hoping that we will be able to proceed from here in a good way. I chose the opening hymn intentionally, knowing that there may be some division. There may be some different things that are going on. I should be on the next slide, boys and girls back there. There we go. Okay. I am not a musician, but as we sang that hymn, that's not a common hymn. Have you sung it here before? I don't know that I have ever sung it before, but I thought it was interesting, and I loved the lyrics. It was written in 1958 by William W. Reed, Jr., and we have a slide. There he is. He went into the Army Medical Corps in 1942, ended up interred in Germany, a prisoner of war for 8 months in Germany before the end of the war. So he experienced all of that, and the division and the different things that went with it. He left there, came back, he went to Yale Divinity School, ended up a pastor and then a district superintendent. He was I'm perplexed by this. He was a pastor both in North Dakota at some time and in Pennsylvania at other times. I don't know how those two connect. I would love to hear the rest of the story about that. But at any rate, he was a pastor, and you could hear that, couldn't you? You could hear the lyrics that was written, and it was written by a veteran, someone who had been in the midst of and seen and lived in a prisoner of war camp. There could have been many who came out of confinement with anger and hatred toward their captors. And he came out, and he wrote lyrics that are speaking about reconciliation. And not only that, but if you listen to the lyrics carefully, they're about reconciliation, that it needs to come not only individually, but nationally and on a world level, reconciliation. And I think we're seeing more of that as we're seeing the strife around the world, and it just seems like a lot's going on. Is it just me? Does it sound familiar that things are kind of in turmoil? Within our churches, with our friends, with our families, with the nations, internationally, there's much. And his slide, the next slide, has the words that he wrote. Where hate and fear divide us and bitter threats are hurled, in love and mercy guide us and heal our strife-torn world. He's preaching, isn't he? He's preaching to us, he's talking to us, he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a hymn to hear. There's a hymn to listen to. And there's some things to set in our hearts and to be about. Now I'm going to jump to the scripture that Holly read from us. Kings, 1 Kings. We've read this one frequently. It's one of my favorites. We need to kind of have some background. Elijah, one of the greats of the Old Testament. There were great people that the Old Testament, anybody who was an Old Testament person would know would be Elijah and Moses, some of those great names. And so Elijah was active in the northern half when Judea and Israel were split. And the king, King Ahab, had married Jezebel, and she had brought from Phoenicia her priests of Baal. And so they were gradually pushing out the Jewish people. And in fact, Jezebel was persecuting the Jewish prophets vigorously. And so God speaks to Elijah and brings the word that God is going to bring a drought and punish them for what's going on in the world. And Ahab, the king, he's angry. He doesn't want anybody to bring bad news to the people. And here is bad news about what's going on. So he's trying to persecute Elijah, and Elijah has to flee. And so he flees first to a wadi. Anybody ever been to a wadi? I love the term. It's a little stream that dries up at different times of the year, apparently. There's a lot of those on the western slope. You have these little rivulet places, and normally they're dry, but when it comes down rain or moisture, they flow heavily. Apparently, this is one of the places that Elijah took refuge, and God sent ravens to feed him. I have a group of ravens that have been working around my house. None of them are feeding me. Now, it's not like I need it terribly, but they're smart. They're smart birds. But anyway, God sends the ravens to feed him, but then the wadi dries up. And so God says, go to the widow of Zarephath. And he directs Elijah to her. I think the next slide has the widow. Oh, no. I'm sorry. You're right. I'm going around in circles. The scripture, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Notice she says, as the Lord your God lives. She is not a believer. She is a pagan. She's a foreigner. And here God has sent Elijah to be with her. And God blesses her when she shares out of her meager fare. She obeys God, and her oil never runs out. Now, does anybody recognize this particular artwork? The artist is in residence this morning. We should acknowledge him, James. James is one of the colored pencil works that you have done, the Widow of Zarephath. I may be leaning on some others of his of the days to come. We are grateful for you sharing your artwork and for having those out there. But it becomes a cornucopia that, is that the right term for isn't a cornucopia something that never runs out? Isn't that right? Isn't that the definition of a cornucopia? It's the jug never runs empty. They never run out. They eat many days. They are blessed by those gifts. So we turn to the other scripture, and this is Jesus, and he is gathered with the disciples, and they are watching, and there is a poor woman who comes forward. And we see the woman, and we see this. There were a handful of different pictures I could use to illustrate this, but this one is interesting. We see, look at the size of the coin he's throwing in there. That's a large gold coin going in. Can you see the coin she's putting in? I don't think it's even visible. It's a mite. It was so small. How many of you, when you go to the store and you get change, if you drop a penny, you kind of just say, well, there it went, and it just stays gone. You guys stop and pick it up? I'm so proud of you. There is talk that they're going to eliminate the penny. It's becoming so expensive to produce, and they're just going to round to the nearest dollar. We'll have to see what happens with that. They've had talk about that for years, haven't they? But here's this widow, and Jesus points her out. It's intriguing to me that every time I see an image of the widow, she's there with a baby on her hip. And these are the greatest drain on the economy. These are people without resources. A widow has nothing, has no recourse, nothing she can do, nothing she can make, because she is used as a widow, and she has no male, no man to be with her. And orphans, they were just a problem. They were just in the way, kind of like sojourners, immigrants, people coming from foreign lands did not have a place. They were maybe escaping persecution. Remember, there was one famous couple. Let's see, it was a mom and a dad and a baby. Oh, yes, Mary and Joseph and Jesus when they went to Egypt. Sojourners, escaping persecution. Wasn't it us? Who was it was persecuting him? Herod, indeed. I'm always curious about this particular image. Do you think that the widow even knows Jesus notices her? Probably not. Probably not. And does it matter? Does she need to know that somebody saw her act? No, from her heart she is giving, and she's giving out of nothingness. You know, growing up in the ministry, when I graduated from seminary, I was in debt right up to about here. And there was never two nickels to rub together, so we were trying to make ends meet every way we could, and didn't have much. And now things are a little better. I've paid off a lot of debts. I've gotten a little bit ahead. God has blessed me, and I am thankful. And so it's easy for me to put a dollar or $5 in the plate, whatever it may be, whatever's a small bill in my billfold when there's a need to give to something. And that's the rich man. But when you have nothing and you give a portion of that, then you are giving from your heart. And that's the widow. Those two scriptures are significant for a number of reasons. One of them is that neither of them are significant people. Think about that. The woman who feeds Elijah was a pagan, a foreigner, and she and her son, they have nothing. Nobody cares about them. They have no political power. And yet God works miracles through them. And here's the widow with her mite. You know what's intriguing to me is there are some accounts that Jesus gave us that became part of who we are and who defines us. Almost everyone you talk to, church or unchurch, you can say, there's a good Samaritan. Those are some of the teachings from Jesus. That's some of the language he used. And we have placed that into ourselves from our culture, through our culture, and it has become a foundation of who we are as a Christian people. Think about that. If you're hearing the ka-thump, ka-thump, it's the snow sliding off the upper half down onto the lower half, so fear not. Here are people that are not as significant, not as powerful, not wielders of things, and yet they are important people in God's eyes because God knows everyone. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that God knows every hair on every head, and Nalu Calamini was here, and I don't know if you've seen him, but he could polish his. His pate, there's no hair left up there. I don't know if he has to shave it or not. But he says, Pastor, he says, you can also say God knows every pore on every head. So may that be true. God knows us. God knows all of us and every one of us. These are important in the respect that as we are about our journey in faith, it may not always be the shakers and the movers that make decisions. It may not always be the rich and the famous and the ones with platforms or influencers or whoever they may be, but those simple people that God works through their hearts, including us, and may it be so. Remember the song's lyric, where hate and fear divide us and bitter threats are hurled, and love and mercy guide us and heal our strife-torn world. This is the hymn that we sang. This is what Colleen selected for her offertory. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. May it be so. Amen? Let's stand. Let's sing our closing. This is my song, number 437. Holly, are you up for leading us? Well, happy snow day. Happy winter, happy fall, happy November, happy Sunday. Day of the sun, day of the Lord, day to remember the God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Allow them to fill us and speak to us that we might speak to others in love. Amen?
Amen.
Let's join hands and we'll sing our closing. Fed. Amen. Amen.